WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As the computer becomes more and more a part of our lives, the word virtual does too. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg traces the origin of the word and how it's come to imply a whole new world living inside our computers.
It's always odd when a word is pulled from the wings and suddenly thrust into a starring role. Take virtual, which has been doing solid journeyman work in English since Chaucer's time. It's related to virtue, of course, but not in the moral sense of the word. It's derived from the old use of virtue to mean essence or capability, the sense that still survives in the phrase in virtue of. So virtual means roughly in essence or for all practical purposes, as when you say that so-and-so ruled as a virtual king. Virtual's recent vogue started as a walk-on role when engineers found it a useful term to describe the computer's ability to create simulations. Virtual memory is a way of faking RAM that you don't actually have, and a virtual machine is the kind of system that lets your Macintosh pretend it's a PC or vice versa. But those are technical terms, and they don't really stretch the original meaning of the word. The adjective didn't capture the public imagination until the late 1980s, when the term virtual reality was coined to describe systems that simulate various kinds of sensory experience. The basic technology may have been old hat as such things go. NASA had been building digital flight simulators since the 1960s. But the use of virtual had a kind of trippy allure that wasn't present with its rival artificial, which figured in phrases like artificial intelligence. Artificial just referred to the computer's ability to simulate offline reality with the implication that life was elsewhere. Whereas virtual suggested that the machines could not just imitate life, but create an alternate reality of their own. It was an appealing notion to a public that had been primed by video games or by the cyberspace novels of William Gibson. And don't forget the 1982 movie Tron, the first of that world in the computer genre that would reach its full flower in movies like The Matrix, not to mention all those Intel Inside ads. In any case, that was all it took to open the floodgates. Look at the way people are using virtual now when you have the sense of a vast phantom world that's assembling itself on the other side of the screen. There are the virtual malls full of virtual stores with virtual shelves and virtual shopping carts. There are virtual universities full of virtual classrooms, virtual banks full of virtual money, virtual libraries full of virtual books published by virtual publishers. You see references to virtual sculpture, which usually involves computer renderings of three-dimensional objects, and to virtual poetry, which I have some trouble distinguishing from the old-fashioned sort. And people even talk about virtual facsimiles. When I first saw that one, it had the sound of a major metaphysical breakthrough. It was something of a letdown to realize it just refers to a fax you send via your PC. The striking thing about virtual is the way it slips between the real and the illusory without tipping its hand. Sometimes it just depends who's uttering it. When the techno-enthusiasts use an expression like virtual voter, it probably refers to real voters who use the Internet. For them, it's just one of the new categories created by the technology that are going to transform social life. Virtual communities, virtual town halls, or the virtual commons, a kind of assembly area for the Republic of Pixels. For critics, though, the phrase virtual voter is more likely to be a fictitious voter created by computer fraud. For them, the adjective virtual usually signals the technology's ability to create deceptive simulations and illusions. But there's a common thread in the way everybody uses virtual, too. Whether the things you're talking about are real or not, the adjective always suggests a kind of digital exceptionality, the idea that the effects of the technology are so unprecedented and so powerful that we need a new word to describe them. There was a striking example in the recent story about the young man in Florida who was arrested for sending a threatening message via an internet chat group to one of the survivors of the Columbine massacre. According to the young man's lawyer, his client was a victim of an addiction to the internet. As he put it, it was a virtual threat made in a virtual state of mind. That seems something of a stretch, even for a word as elastic as virtual. But then, why not? It seems a natural extension of the frenzy for discerning new virtualities wherever a new button pops up on a screen. You think of the way people were blaming the Littleton killings themselves on video games that promoted virtual violence, or on internet sites that had created a virtual Munich beer hall for disaffected teenagers. But it also rests on a more general assumption that everything that happens online is unprecedented and answers to its own virtual logic. So why shouldn't we make special allowances for the fantasies that people act out in virtual states of mind? It's a new world in there.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.